We are going to look at, as I mentioned, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 10 through 13. So one of the passages that we will look at when we are going to do our lessons on Sunday evening about salvation in Christ is, in fact, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10. That passage reads, "Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." And if we continue, "This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself." So a lot of these same things parallel what Sam was just talking about in the class that we just had. First off, let's look at this first verse here in chapter 2, verse 10. "Therefore, I endure all these things." Paul says that he is enduring all manner of things. And this is another word for suffering. He's suffering in a way that we can only imagine. And we can see an example of a lot of those in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 22 through 28. Among all those things that he lists there, he undergoes stripes, he has prison time, he's facing death often, he was shipwrecked 3 times, and that was before the shipwreck we read about in Acts chapter 27. He went through a lot. He faced all of these perils. And we have trouble door knocking in a, quote, bad neighborhood. He says he suffers all of these things for the sake of the elect. The elect are those who are in Christ. They have been chosen because they are in Christ. Not beforehand in the sense that Sam was talking about in terms of predestination, in terms of the Calvinistic view of that, but they were chosen because they made the choice to be in Christ. And those who are in Christ are automatically chosen in that sense, considered part of the elect. He endured this suffering that the elect might obtain salvation. And there we go again, very similar to what Sam was talking about, that salvation of a future type. That they didn't have full salvation at that moment, or at least in that sense they didn't have salvation, but they were to obtain salvation in the ultimate sense in the future. That they might obtain salvation which is in Christ Jesus. Well, the question is, haven't they already been chosen? Hasn't their salvation already been determined? Well, no. They are chosen only insofar as they remain in Christ as part of the elect. And their salvation is predicated upon that, as we'll see. That salvation is in Christ Jesus. It only resides in him and can be found nowhere else. This eliminates salvation in Islam. This eliminates salvation in Judaism, even, because they deny Christ. This eliminates salvation in Hinduism. They accept Christ, but they also accept everything else. It eliminates salvation in Hinduism. It eliminates salvation in any organization or any church that is outside of Christ. We're only saved if we are in Christ, if we are in his church. So the question, how do we get into Christ, into his church? Well, let's look at verse 11. "This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him." We've got to die and then live. We've got to die with him and then live with him. So, die with him in order to live with him. When we die with him, this is when we have put to death our old man of sin. No longer living for sin. Notice I said for sin and not in sin. Similar things. Yes, we shouldn't live in sin, but we shouldn't live for sin either. Because sometimes people think, oh, I'm going to I'm looking forward to doing some particular activity I'm not supposed to be doing. They're looking forward to that. They're living for sin. If they do that, if they put to death their old life, their old ways, their old man, this is repentance. They're turning away from these things. Next, we are to live with him. We have died, but we will not be revived until the Lord acts. Until the Lord does something to us, we will not be revived. This doesn't happen until he cleanses us with his blood. And that doesn't happen except through baptism. Of course, the proper mode and candidate of baptism has to be in line as well. He does this through baptism when we are raised to walk in newness of life. Our old man is dead, but our new man lives on, living for Christ. We have plenty of passages for that. Romans 6, 3 through 6. Acts chapter 22, verse 16. Galatians 2 and verse 20. In fact, I will read Galatians 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's hard for me, if you know the song that goes along with this, it's hard for me not to sing the song along with it. But, and because of that familiarity, the magnitude of this particular verse can sometimes get lost. Think about that. I have been crucified with Christ. I have died with Christ. Not just died, but crucified. Suffered that horrible death on the cross. Died with Christ. Crucified with Christ. I don't live anymore. I don't live for my own passions and desires anymore. I live for his passions and his desires. Christ lives in me. The life that I now live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Why? Because he loved me so much he died for me. Galatians 2 and verse 20. So, how do we stay in Christ? When we consider how we get into Christ, if we died with him, we shall also live with him. How do we stay in Christ? Verse 12, first half. If we endure, we shall also reign with him if we endure. This is, as we've talked about, a conditional statement. It's conditional. This shows that our endurance is not guaranteed. It is something that we must work at. Jump down to verse 15. If you've got the King James, it says, study to show yourself approved to God, show thyself approved to God. If you have a New King James, it says, be diligent to show yourself approved to God. We've got to be diligent. That's the idea of endurance, right? To be diligent with something. Let us endure. We are to work at it. Be diligent. We must live faithfully. Then it says, we shall reign with him. This, again, is based on this conditional promise, based on our endurance. The promise is an eternity with our Lord. Next question, what happens if we're not faithful? Well, that's the rest. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Verse 13 is another passage, as Sam was saying, that the once saved, always saved people tend to harp on. He is faithful. We are faithless. He is faithful. If we don't do what we're supposed to do, he is faithful and he'll save us to the end, right? No, that's not what that passage says at all. Consider it in context. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we deny him, we are not enduring, are we? We deny him. If we do not endure, Titus 1:16, for in works they deny him. It is possible to deny him, not just in words, but also in deeds. Then we see that he will deny us. Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 10, verse 33, what happens when we deny him. And he repeats that here, or at least Paul repeats that here. He will deny us before the Father. If we are faithless, verse 13, this is the opposite of faithful. This is a lacking of faith. I like the way the King James words it, believes not. That's exactly what that word means. Not faithless in the sense that that person is untrustworthy, but faithless in the sense that that person lacks faith entirely. He doesn't believe. Now, isn't it clear that belief, that faith is essential for salvation? Even the ones saved, always saved, people believe that. But if you lose that faith, if you want to use this verse to support that idea, then this verse says that you'll still be saved even if you have lost your faith. Well, that's not right, is it? Of course, no, it's not right. We can still lose our salvation by means of denying Christ in word and in deed, by losing our faith in him. He remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. What does that mean? Does that mean what the once saved, always saved people say? No, of course not. What that means is that his promises are true. He can't deny what he's promised, right? He is trustworthy. If he went against his own promises, he would be denying himself and he would be faithless. He wouldn't be faithful. So what are some of his promises? Let's consider that. Salvation, first off, is in Christ. We just saw that in verse 10. The salvation is in Christ Jesus, right? He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Didn't Jesus say that in Mark 16, 16? That's right. If we are baptized into his death, or baptized into Christ, we have put on Christ. Galatians 3:27. Paul says that as well. If we confess him, he will confess us. If we deny him, he will deny us. These are promises of God. If he goes against those things, he's denying himself. He will not confess us if we deny him. That would make him faithless by going against his own promises. But there is good news. Consider Peter, who denied him three times, yet he became a very prominent Christian in the first century and an apostle of our Lord, like we've been studying. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. I know I quote that a lot, but it's a great passage. That passage says that he is faithful and just. Faithful and just. That if we confess our sins, he will save us. This is comforting. He is faithful. As faithful as the Father waiting for the prodigal son to return in Luke 15. If we return home, he will be there. He is faithful. He is ready to take us back. We will then be in Christ again, obtaining the salvation that's found within. He's waiting. He's waiting with open arms. And you know what? So are we. If you are a Christian, but you've denied him, if you've not been enduring like you should, we're waiting with open arms, just like our Lord is. Don't wait. Don't wait until it's too late. If you haven't made that commitment yet, then we also stand ready to help you so that you can die with him so that you may live with him. If you have a need this evening, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.